And welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, Leap Day, February 29th, 2020. A day I don't think we've ever done a February 29th. Then again, there's probably other days we've never done, probably a March 18th. Maybe we have. I don't know.
How many years have we been doing this?
We've been doing it a long time, but I know we've never done a February 29th.
Or a January 32nd.
Right. Yes, you're correct. I don't think we've done a January 1st either.
No.
Now that I think about it, never done a December 25th.
You know
that'd be hard.
Going there.
Right? I mean, there's days you're never going to do.
Or July 4th.
The thing is, the opportunity to do those days present themselves every year. This one does not. And the fact that it falls on the day that we do. Actually, the opportunity doesn't present itself every year to do it on those other days, just when they fall on a Saturday. But the chances of it both being a day that only happens once every 4 years and it falling on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Bam O'Brien says the next time this will happen will be 2048.
Right.
You thought about still doing this show.
I thought about me still doing this show, because I know that both of you'd be smart enough to not be doing this anymore. But I thought about me, because I'm like, I'm going to be here.
Hey, everybody. The old man voice will actually be his voice at that point. He'll still have that ponytail.
Welcome to the show.
Get off my lawn.
Here.
The hair will be attached to the headphones. Yeah. You know, like kind of like the hat that has the ponytail in the back of it when you put it on.
Yeah.
It'll be the headphones, but with a whole thing.
Hey, at this point, would it be get off my lawn or get off my internet?
It's one of those.
One of those two.
Yeah. Angry man yells at sky.
Welcome to the show. It is season 14. Episode 6. Jeez. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228. 334. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook, same place. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now. You can go to twitch.tv and watch us. You can watch us watch XFL while we talk to you about video games.
And they can watch us get older.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Oh. Get older?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess you can, since we've been doing it for so long. There's videos there.
Yeah.
Same with YouTube as well. You can just go and watch us. You can watch me do the yo-yo weight loss thing.
Yeah.
I'm here. Stop. I lost weight. No, gained it back. Lost weight again. Gained it back.
Oh, yeah. By the way, don't forget to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan. You can watch the transformation.
Yeah, right. There's that one episode where I was in the hospital, and you guys did this by yourself.
Wasn't that when I first joined?
I don't know.
Because I still have Twitter messages. Was like, hey, am I still supposed to come in?
It was 2014. Wait a second. It was March of 2014 or 2015. I think it was 2014, but I can't be certain. So,
didn't you call in?
I don't think I did. No. Not from the hospital. I don't think I did. Maybe I did. I may have.
April 4th, 2014.
2014. I knew it was right after I got my car. And I felt, because I got my car December 31st of 2013. So basically, from 2014 is when I got my car. And then in April, you're right. then in April, I was in the hospital, and I remember feeling really bad because I was like, I'm leaving my car in the parking lot. Nobody's there. It's just sitting there. Yeah, I was not.
Ben O'Brien's got a message for you. Clapboard.
Oh, no, I got it right here. I'm getting to it.
The other thing, real quick, in the message, I said, hey, I know you're recovering from surgery, but is it still cool if I come in tomorrow? Just making sure, and hope you start feeling better.
Yeah. I can't remember. What did I say to that?
You never responded. I think I got in touch with James.
What day was that? Did you send that? Do you know what
April,
day?
April 4th, 2014.
I know, but what day was that on the 2014?
I can tell you.
I'm trying to figure out how long I was in the hospital at that time.
Please hold.
Did you say it was a Saturday when you sent it? Did you know? Was it the day of?
I'll tell you.
It was the day. If it was the day of, I should have been cognizant enough to respond.
That was a Friday.
Maybe not.
The 4th was a Friday.
Yeah, maybe not. Because I went in on a Friday. Mm. That's when I was admitted. It was a Friday.
I feel like you called that next day.
I very well could have been. I know I watched. I know I tuned in to see that it was going on. Yeah. And I may not have hung around to watch the whole thing because I was sort of in and out. You know, they'd bring me really good drugs. Well, it was drugs. It was not drugs. It was Dilaudid, which was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Drug.
Oh, God, it's so good. And I shouldn't lament about it. I mean, it's an addictive substance if you can get addicted to it. But it's an amazing feeling. amazing feeling. Yeah, so the Friday was when I got admitted. What time, do you know?
Did I message you? It was at 9 p.m.
9 p.m.? Dude, I was probably out of it. I'd had a rough day. I had a really rough day.
The other thing, I last message was, I sent you as a DeLorean. I said, buy her a DeLorean because I love bringing up the past.
Let me get this out of the way real quick, and then we'll reminisce some more.
Action.
So that was it. Was a Friday. I had the chest pains, which was a recurring thing because I had already had them earlier in the year.
What did you have again? I'm sorry.
It was a gallbladder removal.
That's right.
But I didn't know what that was. I didn't know it was what it was. I went to. The first day it hit me was the day that it snowed here. And for any of you who live out of town and don't live in this state or in the South in general for the most part, mm-hmm. when it snows, things are shut down.
Everything shuts down when it snows. Yeah.
There's nothing here. And so I could have gone to it didn't feel like emergency room type pain. It just felt like, well, that's odd. It felt like there was something lodged, like. It's like there's like I ate something and it's just still sitting here, not moving. It's just really, really annoying, and everything was closed. So I drove over to the closest Primed. By the way, it was snowing, so the roads were icy. So I was driving so I had to drive really slow.
Yeah.
To get to the Primed to find out that Primed and all others in town had closed, with the exception of one way on the other side of town. They had moved everything over there. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the one open. We're closing these because of snow. All right. So I had to go all the way over there, try to figure out what's going on. They didn't know. I don't think they did chest x-rays. They may have done some chest x-rays, but, they were asking me questions and like, no, I didn't do this. And no, I'm fine. You know, this is good. This is good. This is good. Nope. Just pain here. Well, whatever. And they gave me some stuff to take and I taste. Took it and they waited and I was like, nope, still there. Finally, they gave me some Valium and sent me on my way.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's strong stuff.
Yeah. So they drugged me up pretty good, sent me on my way, and over time, it went away. It stopped. The attack, whatever it was, it stopped. Felt like a heart attack or felt like a chest pain or something preceding that. I've never had a heart attack, so I don't know what that is. What that feels like. And then a couple of months later, it hit me again real hard. And I went to somebody here in the station. Said, I wasn't comfortable driving or I didn't know what to do. And they're like, we're going to go to the emergency room. But she had an idea. She's like, we're not going to the emergency room. We're going to a, what are they called? Where you don't have to wait. Clinics that are not emergency clinics or something, but I don't remember what it's called. Urgent care.
Oh, yeah.
Urgent care facility.
Yeah.
Those are not very urgent. Because while she took me there, I went in there and I was telling them the problems. Saying, okay, well, here, fill this out. You'll have to wait on the thing. And meanwhile, I am doubled over in pain. I get on their floor. Because sitting down hurts, and I'm trying to find a position my body can be in to where this doesn't hurt anymore, and I'm on the floor in pain. And the lady who took me there, I remember her giving them some sort of piece of her mind. She was not happy. And then I got up off the floor with her. She got back in the car and she went straight to the emergency room. Took me to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Which is where they began to...
Here?
They put me on a stretcher in there, and they were, you know, hooking me up to machines to monitor and whatever else, and then they were giving me medicines of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that doesn't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Mm-mm. Got down to morphine. Gave me morphine. Didn't work. Finally, they found Dilaudid, because they were getting worried. My blood pressure from the pain had gotten so high that they were worried I was gonna have myself a heart attack. And so they finally found Dilaudid, which brought it down, whatever. And that was my Friday. That was my Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally got into a room Friday night. I don't remember when I woke up Friday night, but at some point in the night I woke up. And, you know, it wasn't like I didn't know where I was. I knew exactly what was going on. But, you know, and they told me, here's the situation. Here's what you've got. So your surgery scheduled for Monday to remove your gallbladder. If you need anything, just hit this button, and we'll bring you either, if you're in pain, we'll bring you the Dilaudid, and if you're nauseous, we'll bring you the Donzamedicine. So, that's it. And the Dilaudid was wonderful. I can't say I abused it, because, I mean, I did need the pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a few nights when it's like, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep. Buzz for the Dilaudid, because that was my sleep aid, man. They just give it to me. Ah, go to sleep. Now, when I was in pain and they gave it to me, the pain went away immediately. But I had the option. It was very strange. Like when they gave it to me, I could feel it like start at my toes and come up my body. I could feel this warmth come over me. And I could feel it go through. And as soon as it starts in your toes, and then as soon as it gets to the top of your head and gone through, you feel this real... All of a sudden, you just relax real nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a choice then. You can go to sleep. You can let it work its magic, and you can just go to sleep, and you will have a fantastic sleep. I don't know how many hours will go by, but tons of time will pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you want... It's like that episode of South Park when they want to freeze themselves until the video game system is released. It's like if I had the lottery, I just... And I was, you know, and I needed to be somewhere. It's like I need... I need tomorrow's XFL game to kick off sooner. Take some Dilaudid. Wake up like ever how many hours later and be like, okay, it's not there yet. Take some more.
Oh,
wake up. All right, here it is. Feels instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go to sleep if you let it do its thing. The other option you had was to not go to sleep. I mean, obviously, you're in a hospital. If you didn't go to sleep, if I did not go to sleep, I had so much focus, so much, like, I'm ready to bang out, you know, a novel if I want to and type up a dissertation, you know, whatever. I was good. It wasn't Adderall, you know, it wasn't anything that was, like, keeping me focused.
Sounds like cocaine.
Well, it was a situation where the pain in me was completely gone and I was completely, whatever, I was, you know, it was fine. I could focus tremendously on something, unlike what I'm doing right now, which is not focusing on the show, but I could focus on what's going on. It was amazing. So yeah, enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You can add MLB in that list too, because I watched the baseball.
Mm-hmm. Champs.
Bingo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cocaine was. Has legitimate use as a topical anesthetic. Yeah. Anesthetic. So yeah, there you go.
Wait, in Dilaudid?
No, cocaine. Because I said what you described was like cocaine, all the focus and everything.
Yeah. No, Dilaudid. And I, you know what? And I tried to when I got out of the hospital, I was like, let me see how. Can I get a prescription for Dilaudid? You know, I'm like, I looked it up, and there is a pill form of it, but, from everything that I read about that, the pill form has no equivalency to what the IV version of it can do. And so, yeah. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of my former addiction conversation.
Real quick before we move on, I will say one time when I was in my teens, I had to have jaw surgery. mm-hmm. unhinged my jaw, moved it forward, and put brackets to put it back in place. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me the little button to, if she was like, once you start feeling pain, you know, just hit the button and you'll start feeling better. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but before going into surgery, I thought it'd be a good idea to see if I could just not hit the button at all. And so, I mean, they gave me pain meds in other ways, but I was like, see if I could just not hit the button. And so the next night the nurse came in, I never hit the button. And the next day, and she was like, have you been hitting the button? And I was like, uh-uh. And she's like, you know what it does, right? I'm like, uh-huh. I just wanted to see if I could take the pain. She's like, okay.
Mm-mm.
So I never hit it.
Mm-mm. If I ever get back in a situation where they got to give me the lauded. God, it's going to be a bad
I probably
day.
Wouldn't do that now, but I just oh, man. See if I could do it. Like,
button.
Why button, is this button, working? It's empty,
button,
sir.
Button. Yeah. No. Did you just put it in a pitcher? Like, what, a straw?
It's Margarita Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, so all that stuff, you want to get in touch with us, blah, 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 blah. Happy Leap Day. We've already run up to our first break. Let me go over the games that I have played, because it'll be very, very short. Nothing, actually.
All right.
Is that right? Did I play nothing? It is. It is absolutely, well, it's not necessarily that I didn't play anything. Yeah, Destiny had some stuff happen this week. They basically wrapped up the season with all those people doing all those donations, and they unlock Trials of Osiris, which will unlock in the next season, which is not something I want to play, because it's a highly 3v3 competitive. You remember that, mm-hmm. when we did Trials of the Nine that one time.
Yep.
Highly competitive, and I am just not... I don't play competitive as it is now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll play the other side, which is basically, you know, non-ranked PvP stuff.
Yeah.
I don't play the other stuff. But I really haven't played anything. That was it. They did their thing. I logged in so I could get my title and all this other stuff that you have to do. and then that was it. I didn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. So I have not played anything this week. Yeah. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that gets me out of the way real easy. We got about 6 minutes till there. You got what you've been doing, RJ?
Yeah, I played a bit of Destiny 2 as well, and it's amazing. They've actually given me less of a reason to play Iron Banner now. Used to be a time I played Iron Banner to get some weapons to build up my stats and everything like that. But now they put quest steps in there. Now I gotta finish these little trials and whatnot just to get the.
The quest steps are only for the armor.
Okay, well, whatever it is, I couldn't even access the icon to get stuff until I
right.
The quest
you have to okay, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So that
to turn in your tokens that you earn,
yeah, I got 157 of them.
Yeah, you got to do the quest steps to turn in the tokens,
which
yeah.
I didn't have to before. Now it's just irritating. Now I have less of a reason to play Iron Banner.
Little bit irritating. I get you. I understand.
So I left that alone. The only thing I played really mostly was at GT last night. We had a nice little fighting game session. We played a bit of Marvel vs. Capcom 2. We played some Street Fighter 5. We also played a little bit of Samurai Showdown, which is really good to get back into the swing of, because they're getting some new DLC characters out, and I want to get used to the new characters coming out. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been playing.
All right. I think we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll cover what Nate's been doing over the past, I don't know how many weeks now it's been, so...
Four scores.
Hmm?
Four scores.
Four scores?
And 7 years ago.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Part of me heard poor scores. I was like, are we back on margaritas again?
Woo!
Sangria Saturday. Anyway, we're going to take a break. There is nothing linking any of these songs that you're going to hear today, other than most of them are very broody. With the exception of a couple, but not with this first one. I think it's free now on Games for Windows Live, if you got that. But the Batman, the Telltale series, I believe, is free. As part of the Games with Gold type thing. So I thought, you know what? Let me go get some music from that, because I don't think I've ever played any music from that. So that's what I did. Batman, the Telltale series, the track is called Codex. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Told you the music was going to be broody. This is from a game called Blasphemous. And it's... the name of the track is... Tin... Paidad, I think. It's all in, like, Spanish, I think. And this means either have mercy or for mercy. I don't know. It's the translation for this.
I think I'm seeing images of that game. Yeah, kind of a disturbing gothic religious type side scroll or something.
Well, as you can tell, yeah. We started with Batman, then I'm in Blasphemous, so I'm in the B's of my Steam game list. Mm-hmm. The thing was is that it got me because it said Batman, the game that was free on Xbox Live was like, it's Batman the Telltale series. And I was like, isn't there something called Batman the Enemy Within? That was also, I had to look it up. So I went to Steam to like see what the different games were. And yeah, it was Batman the Telltale series. And then the sequel to that was Batman the Enemy Within. So I thought it was. Thar66 says it's very, very difficult. So, had that look about it, that it might be that way. Nate, what have you been playing, man?
Escape from Tarkov, still.
Right, more of that. We were talking about that.
Still get my butt kicked. Had a successful run this morning, so I was pretty...
Nice. Did James ever get in on that with you?
He has not. Oh, okay. I've been trying to... I need to get on the official Discord and, like, team up with people, because I've been playing by myself, and it's just... so hard when you try to just play by yourself and then there's like groups of four. I usually just play scared, so when you play scared you play bad.
Yeah,
so there's just times where I'll just sit in a corner and just let everyone fight it out for a minute and then it'll be quiet and I'm like, oh, okay, I can start running, and then everything starts going to hell again. And yeah, it can be disappointing sometimes. So, but mainly is you can play with a scav, so you don't lose any gear. You're spawning as an AI. One thing I realized last night that someone explained is that you can, before you go into a match, you can load your clip up with different ammo.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could put your last four rounds or tracer rounds, so you know you're about to run out. So you could do four tracer rounds, 10 rounds of cheap ammo, and then the first 20 rounds or whatever is, like, your more expensive penetration ammo.
Right.
Which is just kind of crazy that you can stack different
ammo.
And that way, because when you start getting into the higher-end gear, it's like a $1,000 bullet. So it can get real expensive when you're just trying to survive and just get through missions. But, yeah, so I've been playing that and just trying to learn that and get all my controls down. It's a it's also a very sound-dependent game. Every step you make sound makes a noise, and everyone can hear that. So you feel like you're just, you know, making noise across the map.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like elements of that game Manhunt.
Yes.
Where every step you took made noise on the meter.
Yep.
Yeah, so you had to be very careful where you walked and where you stepped in that game.
Like, if you're in the warehouse, you're usually stepping on broken glass and concrete, and that's making a sound. But then if you're walking on metal, you know, it's a metal.
Yeah, it's like the difference between you stepping on pavement and stepping on a downed fence.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you hit the metal links on there, everybody hears a clink when you hit your footsteps on it. Yeah,
and like one thing you can do is, like, if you know someone's kind of near you, if you kill someone, you can start searching them. It'll make the sound effect that you're searching, but then you back out and then wait for them to try to come up on you while you're searching. So it's just things like that you can do. Yeah, so I've been playing that, and then trying to get back into Spider-Man, because I didn't beat that one. It's very fun.
Yeah, somebody this past week, Steve, who may still be listening, I don't know, he used to, he hit me up and said, when are you coming back to the PS4? Because he used to play Destiny with him over there.
Mm.
And I said, man, I don't know. I said, Last of Us 2 will probably get me back there.
Yeah.
So. Let's go to the phones and just blind take this one. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mike. Is this a real radio show or is this a joke?
This is a real radio. Oh, wait. I know who this guy is. We're going to get rid of him real quick. Mike called me earlier this week on the show when I was doing the morning stuff.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was this week or last week. It may have been last week. I think it was last week. Mike's a horrible human being. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he really is. But thanks for listening, Mike.
Hope you have a great weekend.
Did you play anything else?
No.
Just that? Just doing that? Yeah. I know, it's been busy for you, so I can understand that.
Yeah.
It has not been busy for me. I just haven't played anything. I really haven't. And I kind of hate that, because, I mean, they brought up in the chat room, they're like, hey, this is on Game Pass. I haven't looked at Game Pass in forever. Which I really need to do.
I know.
I need to take a look at it and like play some stuff. I keep installing these games because I'm like, that seems like I'm going to... And I try not to go overboard of like how much I'm going to install. You know, I see something, I'm like, put that on, I'm going to play that. So I did, Defense Grid 2. And then I put Doom back on because I was like, I'm going to go and finish Doom because I didn't do a lot of that.
You never finished it?
No, I didn't. So,
you ever watch a speed run of that game?
No, I don't think so.
It's pretty funny. Beat it in 20 minutes.
But I wanted to just go through and finish it, you know, get that over with. I think I installed something else that I was going to play soon. Well, Stella, which I talked about last week. Mm-hmm.
It's not like you got the same issue I got with my with your PC that I got my PS4 running space.
No, it's not really a space issue. I just don't want to... If I went through my log and I looked at everything of like, yeah, I want to play that and installed everything I want to, I would run out of space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way I can install everything I actually want to play on there. So I just look at stuff like, what are you actually going to do? Defense Grid's a real quick thing I can fire up and put in, you know, 20 minutes of time and be good with it. So that's kind of what I wanted to do. But and I did that. But then Doom was like, and then I'm going to get to Doom and I'm going to run through that and do things. A bunch of shooty bangs. Make it happen. Never
lost. Bang.
Yeah, never did anything. Mm-hmm. Never did anything with it whatsoever. So, you know. But I'm trying not to get ahead of myself to like, because if I put too much, I'll just be at the same place that I am now, which is now, instead of looking at stuff to install, it's like, what am I going to play? And I'll spend, you know, the entire time deciding over what I'm going to play and then you know, not do anything with it. So.
So the backlog grows.
And it does. It does, which is not a problem. I don't mind having a large backlog. It doesn't bother me at all. Let's get to some of the news that we've got here, because there was a lot this week, and I don't know how fast we're going to get to it, but I saw where Activision was taking some action against that leaker of the Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare thing, and apparently they could subpoena Reddit for the guy's name and information.
Sure.
To get it.
Yeah, I saw a few comments on that one earlier.
Let's see. They've since deleted the post along with their account. Activision has also been issuing takedown notices to people who tweet the image, and a YouTube video with footage of the Warzone tutorial posted by has been taken offline. Last year, Reddit was subpoenaed by the Watchtower in an attempt to learn the identity. Oh, what? No, that's not what I... Oh, well, then they don't go on to complete the story. Okay. Well, yeah, they've subpoenaed Reddit for that. And apparently that has not gone further, as far as that's concerned. Baldur's Gate 3. I didn't play 1 or 2.
Mm-mm.
You weren't there either. Okay.
My coworkers play it.
Well, I was just curious. Because, you know, they had a big announcement this week.
The trailers are beautiful.
I haven't even watched the trailers.
Oh, that's sad. You should watch them. They're pretty cool.
It's just not a... I should. You're right. It's probably no gameplay, though, is it?
No.
Yeah.
They're cinematic trailers. They're not.
Right.
They're like Blizzard-type trailers.
It was formally announced the week before E3 of last year. It's being made for Windows PC. Windows PP.
How that happened, Scott?
I don't know.
Is this an actual radio show?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mike, you're absolutely right, Mike.
Son of a biscuit.
Windows PC and Google Stadia. Sequel to Baldur's Gate 2. Well, of course it is. Which launched 20 years ago.
I was alive.
Okay. Let's see. Baldur's Gate 3 was announced last June. Launch window title for Stadia. Yeah, so it's coming... when it's going to get released? Oh, its gameplay reveal was at PAX East 2020. There's a lot of things revealed at PAX East, by the way, which is still going on. I kind of hate that I'm not there, because my guys from Cyan Worlds are there,
mm-hmm.
talking about a game. And then the guys from Three Fields Entertainment for Dangerous Driving 2 are there.
Which I want to come back to Cyan after this.
We will.
I want to ask you something.
But they're talking about their Dangerous Driving 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I played the first one.
Huh?
I didn't play the first one. I just watched you play it.
Yeah. Harmonix is there showing off their new game, which is like a electronic version of Dropmix, which I got really big into as it was dying off.
Yeah.
Which I didn't care. As far as a game goes,
yeah.
I don't play it for a game.
Yeah.
There is no...
The joy is having all of us around, you know, the more people...
And just make mixes, man. Yeah.
Let's see what happens when I mix this with this.
Yeah, that's it. Do you play it as a game? No, I don't care. That's all it does. That's all it does anytime you introduce somebody to that kind of game anyway.
Yeah.
It turns into, hey, let's just play with it. I don't want to do a game. I want to make mixes.
Yeah,
and so that's what you do. So I kind of hate that. But and also, I keep seeing pictures of Nintendo set up for Animal Crossing. The booth that they have there. It's like, man, really, really want to go. And I'm kind of concerned about PAX Prime, PAX West in September. First off, they haven't put up dates yet for this year for PAX in Seattle. Then there's the whole situation with traveling right now is not necessarily a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going to happen there. That's a ways away,
mm-hmm.
but you still kind of got to prepare for it. So we'll see. The news list that we have was a lot longer than what it is now. because I kept listing all the stories where another company was pulling out of GDC. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like it started with, who was it? I think Sony or somebody pulled out of GDC, and then it just Amazon. And then Amazon pulled out of GDC, and Apple pulled out of GDC. All these different companies were like, nope, we're not going. I was like, man. And then finally Friday they come up and they say, yeah, we're gonna. They said postpone. I think that'll turn into a cancellation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But they said they were postponing GDC because of the coronavirus fears and the issues that are going on with coronavirus. And so, yeah, nothing like that going on. I'm curious about E3 because that's more of a global thing than it is just a local thing, mm-hmm. you know? And that'll be interesting to see how they handle that. So, depending. I mean, there's still time for things to change. There's still time for things to get worse, and there's still time for things to get better. So we'll just see how that kind of plays out. Kind of concerned about how that's going to be. And even if it does, even if PAX Prime still goes on, even amid everything that's going on now, do I want to do that? Do I really want to, you know, get on a plane and fly out there? I don't know. I don't know.
I would
like to, obviously. But, and again, it's just going to, take time to see what happens between now and then to see if that's going to be a feasible thing to do.
So. Yeah, I'm supposed to be going to Black Hat in August, so I don't know.
Oh, where that's at?
Las Vegas.
Oh.
And DEF CON.
Where's that at?
Vegas.
Oh, it's also Vegas?
Next, okay. Right next door.
And when is August, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, so far, but see, I haven't heard anything bad coming out of Vegas as far as that's concerned.
No. Well.
Seattle's a different story.
Correct.
Especially after today.
But I'll tell you why it could change.
Okay. What did you want to talk to me about? You wanted to talk about science.
So, did you get an email from them the other day?
I've been getting emails from them, actually. It feels like it's, hey, check out our store. We've got this available.
And well, I meant more along the lines of their the game they're working on.
Is it the one that you backed on Kickstarter?
Because mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten anything.
You didn't back that one?
Thing. No, I did not.
What?
The money was not where it needed to be at that time.
Okay, that's fair.
To give what I needed to give what I wanted to give.
So you didn't at all?
Well, at the time, because look, at the time they started it, I put in my whatever. I was like, yes, put me on this tier. That's what I want. At the time it ended, take me off that tier. Because they don't take the money out until it's over with.
Yeah.
And so I knew when the date was coming, and I was like, that's not a good time.
Yeah,
no.
I understand.
But they had already hit their funding goal, so I knew that me taking that money out was not going to hurt them.
Correct.
And so
you didn't drop the tier, drop to a lower tier?
No, I didn't drop to a lower tier. I think it just backed out. I can't remember. I may have been. I think dropping to a lower tier didn't get you a game. You know.
I mean, why didn't you go one tier down or?
The one tier down or whatever was like a dollar or something. You know, it was like whatever tier it is that gets you a copy of the game.
Okay.
Going lower than that does not get you a copy of the game.
Oh, I thought you meant you were trying, because before you did the Mega Ultra package before. So
yeah, I probably.
I thought you meant that again.
No.
Okay, you just meant for the game.
I may have started there. And then as the month went along, so let's just back that down.
There may have been multiple.
Let's just pay to get the game. Just go there.
Okay.
And then the month comes around, it's like, this is not good.
Abort.
I can't eat the game, and I need to eat something. So let me put this.
I got you.
Back. I can't remember when this was. It was last year sometime. Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, really, my point was going to get at. I feel like they have not. For Abduction, they sent a lot of updates and gave information about what they're doing. I just feel like they haven't given as much this time.
When did they send that email? And I'm trying to see.
What's the game called? I'm already forgetting the name of it.
Firmament. It's not Firmament.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Oh, is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I haven't been getting any emails on that.
Let's see, the last one. All right. So they're pretty common. So let's see, two in June, one in July, one in October, and the last one was November.
Oh, no, I haven't got anything.
And I just feel like I was going to compare with you just to see if you felt like that was not as many emails as they did prior, but you didn't do it.
Doesn't sound like it, but yeah. But is that, so that's what you wanted to know? If it
yeah,
was
just,
the
yeah, just curious if you knew.
Well, they're
anything.
Not, you know, Cyan Worlds is not at, they're at PAX, but they're not there to show off Firmament. They're showing off one of the, it's the second game that they're doing a publishing partnership with.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called either. But they've done one game before where it's not Cyan, Worlds. It's, they're just helping publish the game. But it sort of does fit into their, oh wow. It does sort of fit into their wheelhouse of the type of games they make.
Right.
Puzzle-y type, whatever. Sorry, apparently somebody's really hurt on the field there, which is why that has me distracted. And then this next game apparently is sort of in that same vein of something that is kind of similar to what Cyan Worlds does. So I have interest in everything they're doing, but I kind of realize, and I can realize this with a lot of Kickstarter things, obviously, unless you're going big for that thing, there's rare an incentive for you to put money into it other than to get it funded, you know? Put the money in so that they can hit the goal, so that they can get funded to make the project. The game, I tend to find, I can get usually much cheaper later on after it's done, which, I mean, with anything,
well,
you
yeah,
can.
That's anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look at it as a... I look at it as you just simply purchasing the game.
Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff is just fluff.
Well, I know people have run into issues with that. I know Matt is a big is one that ran into it big time with some of the things he had done. And I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody where the early access had gone up, but he didn't have access to the early access, even though he was a backer. And so all these other people could then pay the early access price to get in and play it. But without, and if you were a backer, you didn't get it until the final game was released. You did not get into early access, which is weird.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what game that was for. I'm not exactly sure.
I was trying to pull up to see which one I did. I did the $50 package, where you get the custom DLC made for you.
Mm. Very cool. So let's see, Baldur's Gate there. Are we at a break? No, we're not. It says PS4 and Xbox One will not be able to handle Baldur's Gate 3, according to the developer. 13 things you should know about Baldur's Gate 3. As a guy who does not play Baldur's Gate at all, tell me what those are. Goodbye, old school combat. Battles in Baldur's Gate 3 unfold like a strategy game, placing a great deal of value on positioning and environmental obstacles. But rather than follow a character-by-character turn order, Baldur's Gate 3 alternates between groups. I don't like that kind of that battle mechanic. Bonus actions. You can see people's faces now. I didn't know that was a deal. There's a tadpole inside of your head. You can swap to turn-based mode outside of combat. You can split the party. That's interesting. But isn't the number one rule of Dungeons & Dragons, don't split the party? Yeah. Oh, there it is. The first sentence. The number one rule in Dungeons & Dragons is don't split the party. I should have read the first sentence. The number one rule in Baldur's Gate 3 is, it's cool to split the party.
Did you set that up?
I did not. I swear I did not. I am not that smart.
Is this a radio show?
Hey, right? Is this a real show? It's not, sir. You're having a bad trip. Baldur's Gate 3 is set 100 years after the first two games. That means nothing to me. There are a ton of secrets everywhere. Well, that's great. Failure can be pretty fun.
Why are you so attached to this?
It sounds like it's a big deal.
I'm just curious.
Dice are a big part of the game. That's interesting.
I thought they made Battlefield.
Yeah. Actually, dice rolls. Oh. Whenever you have to make a skill check, you'll have to roll a 20-sided die. Let's see. If you're playing as a vampire, you might be tempted to eat your party members.
Did they pay you to endorse?
Nope. And number 13, the game keeps track of everything that you do. Well, there's 13 things we now know about Baldur's Gate 3.
Want to play it?
No, man. On the very first thing that it talked about, which was combat mechanics. Mm-hmm. Not my thing. Never been my thing. I've never really enjoyed that style of gameplay. Mm-hmm. Which is sad, because I feel like I've missed out on some really good stuff, but I don't know. Maybe not.
Real quick, Aetherith, I'm not making fun of the game or anything. I know a bunch of coworkers that play it. It looks interesting, and I might try it. I've just never known Scott to play it, which he doesn't. And I was just curious why he was so...
Because other people, I'm sure, are interested. I mean, I know I'm skimming through this stuff.
Yeah.
But I have no way to talk about it.
We're trying to gauge if you were actually, like, interested.
Yeah,
or...
I mean, look, we could use this show to just talk about the games that we're interested in.
We do.
But...
Destiny.
And while I already talk about Destiny enough, nobody wants to hear about it. As much as I put in the time with it. Let's see. This comes from Kotaku talking about Mass Effect. And it was about how many people actually played. You can play a good guy or a bad guy. You can take your character, main character of Mass Effect, and you can slowly turn him into somebody like Caller Mike. A bad guy. Or you can turn him into a good guy if you want to. And apparently, 92% of Mass Effect players went Paragon, which is the good guy side. 92%.
Man, that's not me.
We were just talking about this last week. Mm-hmm. You weren't here for it, but we were talking about games that give you the option to go good or bad. And I think I was talking about Infamous.
We were talking about Infamous.
To go good in Infamous is actually very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful with your shots, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like some of the big things that you can make explode and do things with cause collateral damage.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
And suddenly three or four people are hurt, but you negated that by healing every one of them.
Yeah.
But
it added an extra step. Yeah, but extra step, if you're playing Mean Evil Man...
Man, I forgot about that game. Right. I loved that game.
Red lightning all over the place. It didn't matter.
You didn't care.
Yeah.
And it was one less thing to have to worry about.
I mean, it's just like playing Knights of the Old Republic. It was always easier just to roll Sith.
Is this the MMO or the one before then? Okay.
Before then.
Gotcha. The story-based. Yeah. No. I know what you're talking about. I never played those.
Oh, okay.
But the only way I can tell you that I understand that is because I did play the MMO.
Same thing.
And
yeah.
I played Republic
first.
But
that didn't really have any
bearing. Didn't. You're right. But I loved playing. So when I spent all those many hours and all that time playing Republic, going through level cap and everything else,
yeah.
And I went through a lot, and then I switched and played the Sith. From then on, I wish I had been playing the Sith from the beginning. Now, I can't tell you because I can't. It's kind of like that whole situation of your experience is determined by your, you know, the whole stretch of everything.
Yeah.
It's all your opinion is based upon your experience and everything else. Mm-hmm. So my opinion of Sith is based on my experience of playing that much good guy and then suddenly playing bad guy and enjoying every aspect about it. Mm-hmm. Would it have changed had I started as evil, gone through and put in all those hours and then played good and thought, man, I should have been doing this, you know, mm-hmm. grass always greener type thing. So I can't tell you, but man, I just the little bit I did play as a Sith, I really, really enjoyed. So 92% of Mass Effect players were Paragon. And he goes on to say, and we put a lot of work into the Renegade content too, and hardly anybody got to witness it, which is interesting.
Yeah, probably on YouTube by now.
Yeah. I really wish there were more games that kind of let you do that. Then, of course, I really, really wonder if I could actually make that choice and go in that route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime a game gives me, and I always do this, anytime a game gives me that choice,
yeah.
Dishonored gives you that choice. Mass Effect, of course, gives you that choice. There's a lot of games that kind of give you, or it used to be anyway, that gives you that choice of do you want to go good, do you want to go bad, how are you going to play it, It all depends on what you do and your actions that you take.
Yeah, to a degree, Catherine was like that. Well, not good or evil, mm-hmm. but like honest or...
Hey, man, I'll tell you.
Follow your desires or follow your...
Every time I start a game like that, yeah. the instinct kicks in and I play and I'm like, all right, I'm going to give it one playthrough where I'm really good. And then I'm going to give it a second playthrough where I'm really bad.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, I'll get through that first playthrough, and then I'm like, yeah. I'm done. I don't need to go back.
That's exactly how it was with Infamous. I went through the entire thing as a heroic. And when I had the option to go again as villain, I was like, I really don't want to. No, I didn't. Because, you could just go to YouTube and get the evil playthrough and see if anything changes.
So much fun, though. Mm-hmm. Playing the evil part of things. And by the way, when I'm talking about Infamous, I'm going back to basically the first game
the very first Infamous, yeah.
I did play a little bit of 2, and then I played the entirety of Second Son, I think is what it was called, mm-hmm. the one that was a launch mm-hmm. title.
Second Son, and then they had that First Light afterwards, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hated Second Son. I hated the way that whole thing worked.
It was weird.
What caused the power bait usage?
Just the way they gave your abilities, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't get your final ability until it was the final boss.
And he was kind of like a rebel, kind of like the whole...
Yeah, you're fine. No. You're fine. Remember how whenever you kill a boss, you kind of gained his energies or mm-hmm. his abilities? Yeah. Kind of Mega Man-ish.
Yeah.
And the final boss had this really cool, really... I mean, obviously, he's going to have a really great ability.
Yeah.
But once I...
It's at the end. You're never going to use it.
Once I finished it and got it, of course the whole world's open.
Yeah.
But I had really gone through and kind of cleared that stuff out as I was making my way.
They did have New Game Plus, though.
They did, but I don't... sure. You know? I didn't go through with it, New Game Plus.
The second one was memorable for me just because one summer me and my friend went down to his mom's house and... his brother never had played it, and we were there for a week, mm-hmm. and we spent every day from like 11 p.m. to about 3 a.m. just playing that game. We would just all rotate, and we beat it in like 4 days.
Mm. Which I had a good time.
It was great.
It was a good time.
That's one that takes place in New Orleans, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah. And we played Evil.
Mm. Did you get all the shards in that game?
Did I what?
Did you get all the shards in the game?
I can't remember. I'm sure I did.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were talking about how could you play? Because I played like got like maybe a third of them.
Mm-hmm.
I only had like maybe 6 or 7 blips of energy on there, cells or whatever for the power. But I can get through the whole. I can get through the whole game with that. I didn't wanted to. It felt like it was too tedious to me to go search for every shard because I can get along fine with what I had. Besides, if I need a power surge, just shoot a few bolts into a metal pole and absorb the power out of that, and I'm back to normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to remember another game that lets you do that.
I haven't had many.
I can't remember either.
I haven't had many evil, good, or evil choices.
Especially when you have power.
Not the type that influences the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had many experiences like that.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got more news to cover here as well. This comes from another game that I have on Steam, but I think I also have it as part of Xbox Game Pass. I'm not sure. 2 Point Hospital? It's like a... from what I can tell, it's like Sim Hospital.
You get to do surgeries?
No. You don't take care of that.
Okay.
You build the hospital. It's like, okay, I'm going to have this many waiting rooms.
Oh, hospital manager.
Yeah, I need this many surgery rooms... this many patient rooms, an x-ray room, all this stuff. Hmm.
It's a simulator for everything now, isn't it?
Or like a manager type thing. Like so.
Trucking, farming, hospitals, trains.
Of course. Anyway, this is called Water Wednesday. And we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called, well, it starts with a B because that's where I was in my list of Steam games, Back to Bed.
Ah.
Familiar?
No.
Okay, I didn't think you were.
I tried to sound...
Yeah, like you're interested. I don't know much about it either, but this is called Harbor.
Sounds harbor-ish.
Harbor-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. So... Yeah, Sony pulled out of PAX East, CD Projekt Red, and PUBG. They all pulled out of PAX East as well. And then GDC, of course, got postponed. There's another company that stopped a thing too. Yeah, CCP. They canceled their Eve Fan Fest because of the situation.
Didn't Epic drop out?
Of what?
GDC?
Oh, I mean, maybe.
Oh.
Again, my news list was long because there were all these companies that had been pulling out of GDC.
Did your Google thing update? I was messing with it.
Did my Google thing update?
The news link thing we shared?
I mean, maybe it did. What did you change?
Oh. Google offered me if I wanted to change all of the web links to the actual titles of the articles.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, that changed. Yes.
And I was like, oh, cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that a lot better.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it did.
Yeah. As soon as I opened it up earlier, it was like, do you want to change these? And I was like, sure.
Nice. I like that.
Find it for you, Scott. We can talk about it later.
Let's see. That's fine. Yeah, Microsoft unveiled their Xbox Series X specs.
With some cool details.
And some cool details come along with it. 12 teraflops, variable rate shading, hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing, quick resume for multiple games, and smart delivery were just some on the list. Now, it was brought up in the chat room, and I do encourage anyone to look up the Digital Foundry video about the Series X. Digital Foundry is a fantastic... I'm going to say organization, website, I guess, or whatever. It's part of a website. I think it's part of Eurogamer. And they do some really, really deep dives into the technical aspects of not only video games, but also consoles like this. Now, they don't have their hands on a console that I know of. Now, I haven't watched that video, and I need to. So they can't really, you know, take it apart, take a look at everything, and really kind of put anything through its paces. But they take the information that is given... from what Phil Spencer released earlier this week, and then they kind of go into, like, here's what that means, here's what this means, here's what it means you're going to get out of this, or we don't know what you're going to get out of this, that sort of thing. So, but they do a really good job of doing a deep dive into everything that it is. So, when you call up in the fall or the winter, whenever it is, and say, which one is better... you can kind of get an idea of where Microsoft sits by watching that video right now. Sony does not have a video like that yet. Sony still hasn't released all the details of the PlayStation 5, as I'm aware. But some of the ones that they have released so far don't, that I know of, match up to what Microsoft is doing with this Series X. But again, none of the systems are out yet. We don't have any idea on price. We don't have any idea on release dates. You know, it's still sitting there. But again, this is if you're looking to buy something that's like the most powerful console, if that's what you're looking for. Which, and I'll tell you this, is not the reason you should buy anything just because it's more powerful.
It's
as far as video game consoles are concerned.
It's the library, man.
It is just strictly if it's got the games you want to play. That's all that really matters when you call in and ask about that. I will tell you that over and over again. I don't mind you calling in and asking that question at all.
Please do.
Ever. Yeah. It's fine.
We encourage it.
Because then you can tell us, well, here's what I like, and then I can say, oh, that's perfect for an Xbox, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect for... who was it? Terry Adams, who's on after the show. He was downstairs one week, and... he was talking about one of the games to play or something like that. And I said, he asked me about the systems, which one's better, that sort of thing. And I said, well, at first he said, what's the best video game system? And I said, PC. And And he said, but what about the other? And I said, well, the Xbox is better on paper and whatever. But, I mean, what kind of games do you like to play? And then he's like, oh, I really like sim games. PC is your choice. He's like, but what of the consoles? And I was like, there's not really anything that's sitting exclusive on either console that's going to give you. And I think he was more into the wasn't driving. It was, I think it was like soldier stuff, Arma type, you know, that sort of aspect.
PUBG style.
Yeah, and I was like, you're good to go in either direction if you want to. But I think as far as driving sims or games like that, I think Microsoft kind of edges out on that with the Forza series. I mean, there's Drive Club and Gran Turismo on PlayStation 4. But Forza seems to just constantly be putting out the games and putting out the stuff for you to continue to play on. So,
still waiting for that Underground 3. Need for Speed.
Oh, well, you saw that. They put Need for Speed back into the hands of Criterion.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
What did they do before?
Criterion?
Yeah.
They worked on Need for Speed.
Well, which one? What was the last one?
RJ, you may have to look that one up. Hot Pursuit, I think, was the first one that they did. And then there was... What was the other ones? Are you looking them up?
I'm looking them up. Let's see. You said Hot Pursuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, Most Wanted, Rivals. Yeah, this will be about it.
I'm not sure about Rivals. Oh, no. Rivals was the launch title for the PS4. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. And was that a launch title, though?
2013.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a launch title for the PS4. And, yeah, Criterion had some hands in that, but so did Ghost Games, which was, like, part Criterion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as it went on into the franchise... more Criterion merged into Ghost Games, and they started working on it. So, but now it's going back to Criterion as well. And yeah, I forgot to mention the Xbox Game Pass. Lethal Migraine brought that up. So, but again, even having Game Pass, if Game Pass doesn't have the games you want on it, which I mean, it's got a ton, so I don't see how it couldn't. But I just, you just got to do your research, man. You got to look over what games are available for what system, what games are available in a Game Pass on any given month that you want to pick out, and just kind of look at it and say, well, I can get this console, but if I want to play those games, I need to, put forth another ever how much money a month to pay for Xbox Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad deal. It's a really good deal. Honestly, this should really just go hand in hand, to be honest with you. If you get Game Pass or if you get an Xbox, you need to get Game Pass. Yeah. You really do. Factor that into your cost, because it's a fantastic thing to have.
Which is how much a month now?
I don't know, because I'm not paying monthly until I think next year.
I
want to say it's 10. Is it 10 a month? I think it's 10 a month.
I do it. Well, I only buy it when it's, like, cheap.
Lethal Migraine's going to chime in a minute and tell us exactly what it is. I thought it was 10 a month, and I think if you want it with Xbox Live, I think it's 15 a month or something. I could be wrong.
Hmm. 10 a month, 120 a year.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. It really is a good little, it's very Netflix-y video game store, basically, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's less than what Netflix has, but trust me, if you had everything Netflix has in the game world, you'd be swimming in games. You'd have more than you'd need to play, or that you could ever think to get around to playing. CD Projekt Red did announce that Cyberpunk 2077, if you buy it on Xbox One, you will get the upgrade for the Series X if you get a Series X. Which, honestly, I would think that seems to go... Does that factor into their plan of all games being backwards compatible with the Xbox Series X?
I kind of wondered that as well.
Because I know that they are. And so if you play a game
that
is... And they, I swear I think they did it with the Xbox One. I have games that are backwards compatible for the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And then I got the Xbox One X, which is 4K. And they would issue a 4K upgrade to some of these games, and it would just automatically upgrade for you. Mm-hmm. Because, oh, it sees that I have the Xbox One X, so let's download the 4K pack for you and send you on your way. Mm. That seems to be the case, but...
Do you plan on getting that?
Cyberpunk?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
PC.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I have the Best Buy Gamer Club pre-order, but of the...
Statue?
Yeah, the whole package.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure if I pre-ordered that or not.
I did it just because it was running out, and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I'll get the whole package.
I'm still sitting good with mine.
What's that, April?
No, September got backed up.
Okay, backed up to September, okay.
I think it was originally this month, wasn't it? Or I say this month. Wasn't it originally March? Or was it April? It was either March or April. Maybe it was Last of Us that was March, and it got backed up to May.
Correct.
And then Cyberpunk was April, and it got backed up to September.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So, let's see. Half-Life Black Mesa is nearly finished. That's the remake of Half-Life. Been in development for 14 years. Of course, it's been in independent development for 14 years. Basically just a bunch of players.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been working on this project in their own spare and free time. So, yeah. Games with gold this week, or this month, March, anyway. Batman, The Enemy Within, so it's the second Batman Telltale Series game. Castlevania, Lords of Shadow 2. I believe those two games are now actually available if you do have Xbox Gold, Live, whatever. You can get that. PS Plus, you get Shadow of the Colossus. Probably the remake, I think. Or the, not the remake, but the...
Remaster?
The, like, genuine remaster, you know? Mm-hmm. Where they really, really... They didn't just do an upgrade texture pack.
Mm-hmm.
They went back and they rebuilt the game. Shadow of the Colossus and Sonic Forces will be free if you are a PS Plus member next month. Lethal Migrant says, Scott, this isn't backwards that they are talking about. They're talking about a Series X-specific version of Cyberpunk. Instead of buying the complete version, or whatever the upgrade version would be, if you buy Cyberpunk for one next year when the better version comes out, you don't have to rebuy the game. So there's a version of Cyberpunk releasing in September, and then they're going to re-release the game the following year? Is that what you're saying?
With better textures.
I know we're on a delay, so you'll see this later. It says if you buy Cyberpunk for Xbox One next year when the better version comes out, you don't have to rebuy the game.
Hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. I remember, what was the other game? Yes, they were going to release a Series X and PS5 specific version, but not at launch. It won't be available at launch.
Guess not.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Okay, I guess not. I didn't know that. I didn't know that they were releasing specific, not necessarily specific versions for those consoles, but I didn't know that they were going to release them later. thanks, AC Wraith. Well, that leaves me curious, and I didn't read much of this. Maybe Lethal knows, maybe people in the chat room know. So if I get the game in September when it's released for the Xbox One, I play it. It's really long. I don't finish it. But I play it. I put in time. I put in a lot of time. Save the game. Get an Xbox Series X. And get the new version of the game. Does my save state carry over into the new game that I got?
I would hope so.
I'm a curious. Yeah.
Or maybe we'd transfer over.
It seems like, I mean, I feel like it would.
Yeah. I can't see why I wouldn't, because they've had games where I was able to transfer my save for Borderlands 2 from the PS3 to the PS4 for the upgrade for that. They just save it to their site and transfer it over. I was able to do that, so it's possible.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But that's got an online aspect to it. Borderlands does. I don't think Cyberpunk has an online aspect to it. that I know of. Now, again, not saying it can't be done. I mean, it's your account and everything else. You should be able to, you know, thumb drive it onto one, plop it on the other, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me take my save state. Because I did that. I remember doing that for PS. Well, I did it when I got my Pro and my PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred everything that needed to be transferred over to the Pro.
Yeah.
And then everything's still there. So
yeah, make a backup, transfer over, have a little thing for the system data.
I think,
like
it would make sense. And I'm sure they're that's going to happen. So Horizon Zero Dawn showed up for PC again on Amazon.
I haven't started that yet.
In France, I believe.
Oh, you should.
Yeah,
it's a good game.
When they dropped it to like, was it $15? The Legendary Edition and everything. Yeah, I picked it up and haven't started it. Just another part of the backlog.
Harmonix unveiled a game called Fuser. I don't know when that's coming out, but yes, it is like a video game version of Drop Mix. If you never played Drop Mix, it's real cool. Mm-hmm. Drop Mix was a lot of fun. And I was kind of wondering, because I knew they had stopped doing things for Drop Mix. I knew they had basically given up on support with it, and they had stopped issuing cards and everything else. And I'm like, well, what are they working on? Oh, they're working on a video game version of Drop Mix, basically, is what it is. You just don't have the cards. But it's all there. Like, it uses the same aspects of, like, I want to take the vocal from this song, the drum beat from this song, the synthesizers or the front or the horns or the harmonica part from this one, the synth beat, whatever. Yeah. All these different things and make one thing out of it. It really is. It's really very cool the way they make that happen. Oh, there. Did you add that PS5 controller link?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it already in there?
I added it.
Okay, cool, because there it is. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will go over the rest of the news here. We're going to talk about PS5 controller, the whole wireless charging aspect that they've got going on. What else is in there? No, actually not too much left, so yeah. Oh, Lethal Migraine. On the Twitter account for Cyberpunk, their tweet says, gamers should never be forced to purchase the same game twice or pay for upgrades. Owners of Cyber will receive the Xbox Series X upgrade for free when available. I get that. I understand that. Also, my other question on that aspect is, if I buy a physical copy, how do I get a free physical copy of the other one, or do I get a download?
Oh, absolutely a download.
Okay.
There's no way it wouldn't be.
Yeah, all right. I know some people who are diehard physical media people.
Yeah.
I also know some some people who don't have the bandwidth needed to download something like that. But doesn't a game do that anyway?
Or they're going to do it as where, you know, they're just going to turn on features, which I doubt that's going to happen, though.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
But, I mean, these consoles are more like PCs now. So it could.
They are, but as far as I know when you buy a physical copy of a game now and you put it in your system, PS4 or Xbox, or PlayStation or Xbox, doesn't matter. All that is the laser reading the disc to say, I need to download this content.
Mm-hmm.
This person bought it. They have access to now download the content. That's it. Doesn't pull stuff off the disc, although I think it does in some cases. But most of it is pulled from, is downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's not clicking for me as far as.
Lethal said it's going to be part of the smart delivery system.
That's right. They're a little smart. Again, I need to watch the video. I need to read up on this.
Basically what we're talking about.
Just downloads the updates.
Like a PC.
Exactly. Okay. This comes from a game. I jumped out of the B's and went into the G's for some reason. This comes from a game called Grey Goo.
Oh, I do know that game.
Yeah, you know it.
I do know that game.
That's great. These guys showed up at PAX after PAX after PAX after PAX, and I was like, when's your game going to get released? Oh, it's coming. PAX after PAX after PAX after PAX. And it finally did show up, never to be heard from again. It's the main theme from the game. A little bit more upbeat for it, but we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from One Punch Man. Hero Nobody Knows or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, One Punch Man, Hero Nobody Knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty funny little anime.
And it's from the video game.
Mm-hmm.
Main theme from that game, released this week. Which is why I picked it, so... Moving on into some more news here, we talked about, it was the PS5 controller, one of the features that it looks like it's getting a patent for, or at least somebody found a patent, was a wireless charging adapter. So that it can charge wirelessly, which is exactly what a wireless charging adapter is.
Wonder if that would be placed like on the console, you have to buy that separate.
That's a good question, or it could just, I don't know.
Like, just place it on top of the console or something.
I have a wireless charging disc that I can put my phone down on, and shoo, charges right there. So,
probably going to be some secondary accessory.
That more than likely, knowing Sony or really any kind of video game company like this, they're going to proprietary the... The whole thing. So not only will whatever it is that's in the yeah, exactly. Like, no. This is not going to work with all those other chargers you have.
Yeah.
You have to buy the officially licensed charger in order for this thing to work, you know? But if they were smart, and you're exactly right, the console would somehow charge it itself. So you just sit it on top of the console.
That's what cars are starting to do now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know.
A lot of the new Toyotas and such, like where you just center console replace things, charges your phone.
Interesting. That's cool.
As long as it works.
Yeah. So, I mean, just something. It's weird, though, because I hardly ever leave my controller at the console. It's back where I play, you know? Mm-hmm. It's usually where the controllers sit. And I have a whole, like, multi-USB port thing right there that has a bunch of them in there. So I can just plug in whichever one I need for a phone or for the watch or for the iPad or for the controller or for the Xbox controller or for the Nintendo Switch. You know, it's a bunch of different things in there to be able to charge all my devices. So it's a neat little thing. I don't think it's going to be a...
That's more of a quality of life. If it's included.
Yeah, if they implement it the way, you know, it should be implemented, which is, this just works with any other charger that you've got.
Yeah.
You know?
Or on the console.
They didn't make it proprietary for USB cables that you buy to charge the controllers as is. So why? In other words, when you buy, you know, you buy a Sony controller, you use whatever USB cord you've got that connects to it.
Yeah, any of them work.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they didn't make something special where here's a brand new type of connector.
Like the Vita.
Right.
Or with their memory cards.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that PSP?
No, that was...
No, it was both.
It was both.
Both.
No. I don't think the Vita had the memory cards like that. I think the Vita used regular... The PSP used...
regular.
Just regular, yeah, exactly.
I couldn't remember which one.
But the Vita needed proprietary Sony memory cards. It's ridiculous.
One of the many reasons it killed it.
God, it was ridiculous. Hated that. Platinum Games announced something called Project GG. Did you take a look at that, RJ? I know you're a fan of Platinum Games.
GG.
Apparently the third game in a superhero trilogy? Project GG will be the first game that Platinum Games has ever self-published. This will give them a chance to control every part of their new IP, whether or not there's a sequel. It'll be the third game in a superhero trilogy. The two earlier games were Beautiful Joe and Wonderful 101. So, there you go. I never played... I had Beautiful Joe, and it was back on the... GameCube, I think is what it was. And I never played Wonderful 101.
I haven't played either of those myself.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that Beautiful Joe was a Platinum Games title. That kind of changes. After Bayonetta, after Vanquish, after a lot of the stuff that they more recently did, and that's when I started to kind of perk up and notice, oh, this is good. If it's Platinum Games, I'm really interested in what they're working on. Mm-hmm. I should go back and see what prior games they did to kind of get an idea. So,
did you play up? Didn't they do Binary Domain?
They could have. Makuru X in the chat room says they were known as Clover Studios when they were at Capcom, and that's when they were working on Beautiful Joe.
Hmm.
Speaking of, who's in the chat room with us we got here? AC Wraith, Bama Brian 17, Commander Root, Fumzoop, Famuzoop, Lethal Migraine, Makuru X, Retrode, and Stephen Van Damme hanging out in the chat room. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you all hanging out with us on this Saturday afternoon. What'd you find?
No, wasn't them.
Oh, okay.
Binary was Ryuga Gotoku Studio.
Plague Inc. got removed from the China App Store. In a statement released on Endemic's official website, the team explains that the reason behind Plague Inc.'s removal is because the game includes content that is illegal in China as determined by the Cyberspace Administration of China. They go on to explain that it's not clear if the removal of Plague Inc. is linked to the ongoing coronavirus outbreak that is present in China, relating to the game's narrative about the spreading of a deadly global disease throughout the world. Our immediate priority is to try and make contact with the Cyberspace Administration of China. It's an interesting title. To understand their concerns and work with them to find a solution. They're working hard to try and find a way to get the game back on the store. I'm going to say you're not going to have any luck with that. They probably see it as propaganda of some sort.
I'm going to say hits too close to home, I guess.
Probably. And there's plenty of people, I think, who are playing that game, and every virus they can, sticking it in Wuhan or finding Wuhan, China, somewhere there, and like, okay, let's see what happens. And then, okay, you know, just probably spreading fear. I don't know. Mm. When you don't know about something, you shouldn't talk about it. Which is why I read you a lot of these articles before I talk about some of these things. Like Baldur's Gate 3, I just spent a lot of time on earlier in the show. I know nothing about the game, and I didn't give you any kind of opinion stuff other than I don't like certain types of the gameplay that was described. But I still read everything that I could tell you about it that I'd seen, only for the fact that that's it. That's the only way I know anything about it is what I read there. Mm. That's all. So, and I try to cover as much as I can. Not everybody listening likes the same things or enjoys the same things. More than likely, if you do enjoy Baldur's Gate, you've already learned all you could about the game. The creator of the Konami Code passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
61 years old. He was a game developer and a creator of the code, the up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start, which is used in almost every single Konami game. Then it was used in websites or on browsers. You could do it as a little code, little secret Easter egg.
Kazuhisa Hashimoto.
He created the code as an employee of Konami in the 1980s when he was creating the Nintendo Entertainment System version of the arcade game Gradius. I hadn't played that much and obviously couldn't beat it myself, so I put in the Konami code, he said in an interview from 2003. Because I was the one who was going to be using it, I made sure it was easy to remember. Konami would go on to use the code or slight variations of it, in many of its games. It's also become an iconic pop culture reference that has shown up practically everywhere, from games like Rocket League to the website for Bank of Canada.
Wouldn't it just call it the code?
Yeah. Basically.
Just the code. Yeah.
Now, I don't know, but if that code's not engraved on his tombstone, it should be. You know, just as a memorial or something. I don't know, but yeah. Sadly, it's with Konami, man. And Konami is just, they're not in the game-making business much anymore. You know?
Doing their own thing. Slots, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of the Vegas stuff. Yeah, you're exactly right. I kind of wish he was doing this and made it when he was like with Nintendo. You know, I know he's working on a Nintendo game, but not with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. He was working on a Konami game for Nintendo, but I kind of wish he was with Nintendo. I feel like they would memorialize this better than Konami could, in some way or another, or almost any other kind. Microsoft or Sony or. Who am I trying to think of? Some other game developers that are legacy game developers. And Konami once was, man, but they've gone the way of not necessarily Sega, but they've really diverted their attention. Moved away from games in a traditional sense.
Yeah.
And gone more towards the games of chance.
Yeah. Pachinko
and things like that. And also I think they still do the soccer games, right?
Soccer Manager, Konami, PES,
yeah,
Pro PES. Evolution Soccer.
Yeah, exactly. I think they still stick with that because it makes them money.
Yeah.
So, good old games earlier this week announced that they were changing their refund policy as part of a declaration of trust to consumers. This comes from Eurogamer, by the way. I'm reading this. Previously, refunds were given only if the game hadn't been downloaded and played, or if the game literally would not run on a player's hardware. But now, players will be able to request a refund at any point during a period of 30 days after purchase, no strings attached. Everyone at GOG, they said, believes in a gamer's first approach. This latest update to our voluntary refund policy adds another piece to the customer-friendly experience. And it all sums up in one sentence. Starting now, you can get a full refund up to 30 days after purchasing a product, even if you downloaded, launched, and played it. That's it. Seems like a big win for consumers. You can test drive any game, and if you're really not liking it for whatever reason, the refund process is painless and streamlined. The policy also means that GOG has effectively leapfrogged Steam's already flexible refund policy, which allows players 14 days to request their money back, so long as they played less than 2 hours of the game, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's Steam's policy. But in making it so consumer-friendly, does GOG's new refund policy risk hurting developers? That's what people have been discussing on Twitter, as devs have begun saying that they were not made aware of this policy going live. And there's a bunch of tweets. To dig into this, first, I got in touch with the devs to ask them about their concerns. At first glance, the policy already seems quite lenient. But there's a further problem with the policy that stems from GOG's DRM-free focus, a major selling point for its storefront, which is proving to be something of a double-edged sword. For those who haven't heard of it, DRM stands for Digital Rights Management. It's a form of access control technology that prevents the sharing of copyrighted works and video game piracy, although it often gets cracked rather quickly. DRM systems have been known to hamper performance or sometimes require players to connect to the internet even for single-player games. Makes it somewhat unpopular with consumers. Yeah, the no DRM aspect of GOG is a fantastic thing. It's never really played into my purchasing decision. Mm-hmm. But anytime I've ever had to purchase from there, I'm thinking this is good. No DRM, don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I've never had a problem with anything that is DRM, to be honest with you. I know some people have. Some people with certain DRM limitations have had issues running some more modern titles on their PCs. Mm-hmm. Because of the software that's in there, it really throws a bug into the system.
So does that make GOG a lot of PC gamers' first choice when it comes to like purchasing content?
I'm not sure. I don't talk to a lot of people who have told me that, but then again, the topic has never really come up. Mm-hmm. GOG, I'll tell you this, anytime we talk about storefronts, GOG's really hardly ever mentioned. It's called Good Old Games for a reason, mainly because it's the older games.
Okay. Oh, okay.
When you think of new games, you're not thinking of GOG.
Okay.
When you talk about old games, we have Crawdad who calls up a time or two and talks about playing some older games. Mm-hmm. And half the time, not even half, 99% of the time, whatever title he brings up, we're like, oh, you can play that on GOG. Go there. Do that. So, they have the DRM-free games, and now they have a refund policy. GOG sells DRM-free games to give itself an edge in the market, but this is causing problems with updated refund policy. A player could feasibly buy a DRM-free game, download and keep it, then request a refund, effectively getting the game for free. This also explains why their refund eligibility previously ended at the point of a download. But according to Mike Rose, who is, I think, a developer there, who contacted GOG about the policy change, the reason for the new no strings attached policy was because users had been complaining about their previous policy, which was essentially no refunds. It's a tricky one because I do personally agree that places should have refund policies, said Mike Rose. But because GOG is DRM-free, as they love to shout about it, it does mean that whatever refund policy they put in place, anyone can abuse it by simply downloading the game, getting a refund, and then keeping the game. So whatever they choose to do, there's always going to be some who abuse it. There's already quite a window for abuse, but developers also feel GOG's new 30-day refund period is excessive, with Rose describing it as ridiculous. Who needs 30 days to decide whether they like a thing? I'm trying to think of where there's a 30-day...
Outside of some gadget you buy off TV or something like that.
Well, some subscription services are like, first month's free.
Yeah.
You know? But you're usually still into a contract where you've got to still fill out the ever how many months to get that first month free type thing. Yeah. Rose also said, you could play through an entire game multiple times in 30 days. Vlambeer co-founder Rami Ismail agreed on this point, saying he didn't believe there's any game that needs 30 days of evaluation out there. Yet the most disturbing thing for developers, it seems, is that they were given no warning about the policy change and only found out when the blog post went live. When Eurogamer contacted GOG, the storefront did not address his question about why devs were not informed, but Rose said GOG apologized to him for not telling devs in advance, telling him it was a difficult decision for us to make, but we're prepared to shield our partners from all negative effects this new policy might have. Whenever GOG or Steam makes changes to their storefronts, we're not consulted, Red Thread Games founder Ragnar Tornquist told me. We learn about it shortly before it takes effect, but in this particular case, there was no heads up from GOG. I learned about the new refund policy when the world learned about the new refund policy, which is scary. So far, GOG really hasn't said anything. I contacted GOG to ask some questions and received the following statement. The updated voluntary refund policy applies to all products available on GOG.com. At the same time, it doesn't affect our existing agreements with partners and how the payments with them work. It's essential for us to make sure that all the hard work put into making the amazing games remains safe and the developers are being treated with the respect they deserve. That's why, with this update, we introduced additional measures to protect their games, including manual moderation of every refund request, the option to refuse refunds in individual cases, and more. This means that GOG is manually checking each and every refund request, which frankly sounds like a lot of work. I question how much time and effort that's going to cost them, said Mike Rose. It feels like out of everything, this would end up being the reason why they go back on the policy. This is a very long article. I think I got to the halfway point. So, yeah. Devs are a little upset because they weren't consulted about this, or at least told that this was something that was going to happen. It seems like GOG is protecting their interests, saying that what it sounds like, it says, it reads like they say, regardless of the refund, the developer will still get money for it. Which is good in a sense, but not necessarily. But at the same time, if you've been DRM free, regardless of refund, if somebody buys your game, they can still download it and then share it with anybody they want to.
Yeah. Mm.
The option is still there, whether they paid it. So the refund policy, if the devs are still getting their money off of the one sale, it seems like they wouldn't be upset over this. Because they still get their money, and previously they still got their money when somebody paid for it, and that person still had the ability to make copies of it and distribute it, regardless of refund. I'm not saying I'm not siding with the devs. They should have been informed.
Mm. I get your point.
But I also don't see where there's a problem. I mean, I do.
Potential sales, or guess. Or,
how? Mm-hmm. That was there without the refund policy. Mm-hmm. The only way I could see the devs being mad at this is if the refund then takes money away from them. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, according to what I was reading. It sounds like it doesn't. It sounds like the devs still get the money for it anytime somebody buys it, regardless of refund. That's what it looks like, and I could mm-hmm. be wrong on that. Anyway, we got to go. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for joining us for this edition of In-Game Chat. We're going to be back next week. We really appreciate it. Go to our website, ingamechat.net. Subscribe to all the things, YouTube, Twitch, everything else. Find us on Discord as well. And you guys have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday, leaving you with the sequel to the Batman Telltale game called Enemy Within. It's the main theme. It's all broody. And we'll see you next Saturday.